morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every single week. I'll continue to say it. I hope some of you aren't tired of hearing me say it. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. And I'm so excited you all decided to spend your Sunday morning doing exactly that. And we're going to continue our series today entitled Set Free. And I'm really excited about today because today we're going to talk about what it looks like to walk in that freedom. Not just, you know, identify the freedom and experience the freedom and talk about the freedom, but what does it look like to walk in the freedom? And you know, so many times in our lives, the lie that we hear can be so much louder than the truth. And I know this because I am a human amplifier. Okay, that means I take something and I make it louder, whether it is a joke or laughter or what, but usually I take something and I make it louder. My wife always tells me, "Why are you yelling?" And I'm like, "Babe, I'm not yelling. I'm not, it's who I am. I'm not yelling." She's like, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just excited, passionate. But I also, I allow for lies that are in my head to be louder than the truth. And I don't know if you're okay with this, but are you all okay with me being vulnerable in church today? Yeah. Okay, because I believe that vulnerability builds other people up. And this week, I had a whole bunch of lies in my head that were louder than the truth. And I allowed for those lies to be amplified over and over and over and over and over again. I had the honor and the privilege of speaking at a friend's funeral this week and serving his family and friends in a way that I could have never imagined. And it was an honor and a privilege and humbling in so many, so many ways. But on Friday was his funeral service. And I had to prepare for that service. And I had no idea the whole week as I was preparing for it until about Thursday afternoon, Wednesday night, that I was going to have to follow the Pennsylvania Speaker of the House and the Pennsylvania Governor. I was going to have to speak after them. So all 6'7" of me felt about this big. And I heard every lie in the book. You're not capable. You're not going to be able. Why in the world would anybody want to listen to anything that you want to say? And why was that lie amplified over and over and over and over and over again? Because the accuser of the brethren will do anything to keep the gospel from going forward. And I allowed for the lies to keep going and going and going until I started to amplify the truth. Amen. Listen, and I followed up the governor and the Speaker of the House and made it about Jesus and honoring a life and life well lived. And here we go. The lies did exactly what they need to do. They shut up. And here's how they did it. Not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus did. I followed what I've been telling you all to follow for a few weeks. I was like, you know what? I should probably read John 8, verse 36. again and again and again and again and again. So I read it. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from what? Every bondage. Every single thing that restricts you. Sin. Sin is anything that separates you from God. A separation. Every lie that I was hearing was separating me from Him. Listen, we were created for freedom. We weren't created to be bound. We weren't created to be stuck. We weren't created to live in lies. We were created to live in truth. And Jesus set us free. And when we walk in that, when we live in that, when we enjoy that, when we understand that, it's actually exactly what it's supposed to be. Freeing. Imagine that. And when we take it a step further and we understand that we can't free ourselves, we can't just work harder, we can't just do more, we can't just fight for it more. No, we just receive it. Wow. Even more of a game changer. We can't earn God's love. Can't. We can't earn God's love by doing more good things. Not going to happen. We can't earn God's love by being a better person. I'm just such a good person. Nope, I'm not. And once you grasp that you're not, huge. You're not a good person. You're a person that has a sin nature, and everybody does. Oh, but my kids are so great. No, they need a savior too. The more time I spend with Lennon, the more I'm like, man, I'm so thankful that he received Jesus because he needed it. We're not good. He is. The more we fight for more, the more we think we can do it, the more we think we can earn it, the more and more we discount what he did on the cross. The more we try more, the more we try to earn it, the more we do that, the more we discount every scar he has, every bit of blood he shed, every tear he wept. We can't earn it by following rules. As a matter of fact, when we realize that it's not about rules, it's about relationship, it changes things even more. I don't like rules. But I like following things out of reverence for Him. I'll talk more about that later. But what are we set free from? Exactly what I listed. Bondage, darkness, the restrictions of sin. Listen, sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go, and it'll keep you there way longer than you ever wanted to stay. It keeps you stuck. Why do we need to be set free? To fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has for us. If you're stuck in the same place, how can you move forward into everything that He has for you? You can't. It is impossible to go backwards and forwards at the same time. Can't do it. Cannot. You can go sideways. You can go diagonal. You cannot go backwards and forwards at the same time. Can't do it. But so many of us are stuck in such sideways energy. Romans 5, verse 8, you already have God's love and you can't earn it. He freely gives you His mercy and grace. freely. But we treat it like this dude at Sam's Club or Costco or the mall. Hey, can I have a minute of your time? I got a free gift. No, I'm busy. I can't. No, I'm good. Hey, can I talk to you for a second about your electric bill? No. I got, now Rachel, she's the sweetest person in the world. I had, a, she was transferring our electric bill, our gas bill, our light, everything at Sam's Club one day. I'm like, babe, what are you doing? She's like, I have no idea. She offered me a gift card and I just started talking. I was like, babe, come on. But that's how we should treat God. He wants to give us something as his kids. He wants to give us something, but we're too busy. Or we think we could just do it on our own. If we could just work more, if we could just fight more, we could just make it happen. And listen, a lot of it is because of the geographical area that we grew up in. Our greatest gift can be our greatest downfall at the same time. I'm proud of where I'm from. I'm proud to say that I am from the Pittsburgh area. I am from the Mon Valley, born and raised. I know some of you already started singing it, but I'm not going to sing it because the last time I sang it, a lot of people in here had no idea what Fresh Prince was. And it made me feel old. I'm not going to do it. No, I can do it. I don't. They're just going to feed my flesh, and I'm not going to feed my flesh. But we're fighting up against that, that if we just work harder, if we just do more, if we just push more, we'll make it. And in a lot of ways, I love that about us and who we are and who we were raised by and the generations that went before us. But it holds us back from accepting who God is in a lot of ways and allowing for us to receive everything that he has for us. We're going to talk about a story in the Bible, the woman caught in adultery. And this is such an example of mercy and grace. And before we unpack this and talk about this, and I want to talk about an example of mercy and grace. Pastor Rick has been such an example of mercy and grace for me in my life. And he's walked this out for me time and time and time again. There's a statement that we're going to talk about in this passage that he said it to me over and over and over and over again. And he's been such an example to me. So I'm going to pause there. We're going to read, and then I'll bring light to it a little bit later. But I just wanted to mention that before we started. Verse 1, John 8, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but earlier the next morning, he was back again at the temple, and a crowd soon gathered. You know, everywhere that Jesus went, a crowd seemed to gather. And it wasn't for any other reason that people just wanted to experience him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to know if what they were hearing was true. I paused here purposefully because there are people that come in here all the time and they want to experience Jesus in a real way. Listen, you may be here today and you may be someone that was fearful to walk into church because of fear or what you had in your mind that I may be encountered with condemnation or I may be encountered with shame or I may be encountered with guilt or whatever, fill in the blank. But I want you to know that my prayer has been all week that the people that would walk into this place would always be encountered with Jesus. And as people gather here, they'll always meet Jesus. They'll always be encountered with Jesus. They'll always experience Jesus, the joy, the peace, the love of Jesus. So when people drive past here and they say, Pastor Nick, I drive past all the time. It's just the parking lot's always full. I can never even get into Plaza Azteca because what something's going on Sunday night. What's going on? I'm like, people are experiencing Jesus. Come and see. Amen. That's the same thing when you invite people. People are gathering here not because we have an amazing worship team, which we do, but it's because they lead you into the presence of Jesus. That's why people gather. That's why we want people to begin to grow. That's why we want people to begin to give and to go, all for the glory of Jesus, to follow Jesus. All right, let's keep going. So Jesus, as they gathered, he sat down and he taught them. He never missed an opportunity. Verse 3. And as he was speaking, the teachers of a religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. In verse 4, teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Listen, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer from him. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Listen, Jesus was just sitting there in the temple trying to teach some people, trying to have a good day. When the people, these religious leaders, drag this woman in and try to embarrass her and humiliate her and have her killed. Listen, there's people that have been condemned and shamed in a church before. There's people that you may feel that way right now, sitting in church. Or even being in church for a while, you may feel that way. You may have stayed away from church for years because you felt that you would have been met that way. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Oh, I can't go to church. It'll fall in. Oh, I can't go to church. It'll light on fire. That's the most Mon Valley thing. Now, this woman that we're reading about here, from what we know, she was 100% guilty. She was guilty. She sinned. She committed adultery. She failed to follow and obey the law. Jesus doesn't even speak to the men to defend her. He simply stoops down and draws in the sand. Now, we don't know what he writes. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I wonder if it was maybe the women that they had committed adultery with. Their names. Maybe he looked at one of the guys and just wrote down, hey, remember? Maybe he wrote down their sins. Maybe he wrote down pride and just, and the guys were like, oh. Maybe he wrote down greed and just went, whew. Maybe he wrote down drunkenness. Maybe he wrote down lying, stealing, or how about this one? Anger. How about this? Some of you today, you checked out when you heard the woman in adultery, and you're like, it doesn't apply to me. Imagine Jesus writing your sin in the sand. Jesus gives these religious leaders such an amazing response, like only Jesus can do. They gave him two options, and Jesus gives another. You know, we often come to God with our plan, our desire, and he gives us a third. We tell him what we want, what we need, and he shows us what he's going to do. And I'm so thankful for those times. I'm so thankful for his timing, for his will, for his plan, because guess what? It's perfect. His way is not our way. His timing is not our timing. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So I don't know what plans you've put before God, but just know he has a different way. Verses 9 through 11, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one. He was writing in the sand, and they're like, listen, I'm out. The oldest ones went first because they had way more sin than the young ones. He's like, he's writing a lot. I just don't have time for him to get to me and write more. Until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again. He said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Neither do I was such a representation of mercy. Neither do I equals mercy, which equals what we don't deserve. Mercy is the opposite of what we deserve. Go and sin no more was such an example of grace, empowering us to move forward, empowering us to go beyond where we're currently at. You know, I said that Pastor Rick was such an example of this in my life and continues to be an example of this in my life. If I had a dollar for every single time Pastor Rick said to me, go and sin no more, man. For even the simplest of things. Hey, please forgive me for this. Go and sin no more. Hey, please forgive me for this. Go and sin no more. Hey, I'm going to be late. Go and sin no more. It's an example of mercy. I didn't get what I deserved, and I was empowered to go forward and beyond where I'm at. Go and sin no more. I was like, what does it, in my early walk, what does this mean? Help me understand this. And he's like, well, when you told me this, what did you think you deserved? Well, I thought I deserved this. And what were you going to do if I gave you that? Oh, I would shrivel up and not move forward. Oh, I see. So I ask a question to you. Who is that person in your life that is being an example of Jesus to you? Who's that person that is free? Can we turn the heat off again? I don't know. Is there chickens cooking somewhere? Are we having like a rotisserie chicken day? Because I'm pretty soon, I'm just going to start going like this up here. What does it say? What's the temperature in here? Is it like 76 degrees? When I see the ladies start going like this, and this, I know it's hot. And I'm not sweating yet. And I'm good. But when people that are usually going like, oh, freeze. Okay, who's the example of Jesus in your life? Leslie doesn't have a blanket on, so I know it's hot. You have your gloves on? Oh, see? It's hot. Leslie hides gloves on top of the fridge. I threw them away once because I didn't know whose they were. And she's like, nobody can see up there. I was like, Leslie, I can see on top of the fridge. She's like 5'1". She needs a ladder to get up there. Who's your Jesus example in your life? Who is saying, go and sin no more? Who is, listen, I'm going to be an example of Jesus's mercy and grace in your life. If you're thinking too hard about this, it means you don't have one. So you need to get one. How do you get one? You sign up for a group. You get in a group. Like, I could never do that. Yeah, you can. And when you get into a group and you realize that there are other people that have walked through what you're walking through or walking through something just as bad, if not worse, and they're walking through it with Jesus and being an example of that, there's strength in numbers. We're following Jesus's leading. The first thing Jesus did when he started his ministry was got himself a small group. God in the flesh needed a small group. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. Who is pointing you towards Jesus? So how do we do this? We have to understand that he freely gives mercy and grace. He does not condemn, but he came to save and reconcile the world to him. That's John 3:17. Mercy, there's no condemnation, none. Whatever you're walking through, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Whenever we make the cross bigger than our stuff, read Romans 8 over and over and over again. There is nothing in this world that can separate you from Christ's love if God is for you. How do you know God is for you? You accepted him. Romans 8 and getting that in your heart and walking that will change you. Listen, it's much easier to receive mercy and grace than it is to extend it to others. But when you receive it, you want to give it away. So how do we go and sin no more? How do we walk in this mercy and grace? How do we do this? I have a three-step plan for you. It's 1995 to get started. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking with you. Rest in peace, Billy Mays. To live into mercy and grace, you need to submit to God daily. Submit to him daily. Every single day is a new day for you to die to yourself and submit to him. Shut any open doors. The enemy has no power in your life, but you've given him keys. You're walking in victory. You have victory. You don't have to fight for it. It's yours already. But you opened the door. You gave him the code to the garage door. You open the front door. There's no screen door. The windows are open. He knows the code. Hey, come on in. It's all right. The couch is over there. There's food in the fridge. And listen, there's ramen in the pantry. There's beef, not chicken. Beef is superior. Shrimp's good too. It's chicken picanha if you go to the North for Sales Walmart. Listen, times are tough. I get you. Elder Batch is shaking his head. So anyways, how do we submit to God daily? How do we walk this out? Here we go. You ready? Okay. Everybody else can go. Jody's ready. I'll just text her the rest of the message. You ready? How do we submit to God daily? The Word. We have to follow what the Word tells us to do. He gives us an instruction manual. What? Yeah, it's in the book. It's in the book. It's an open book test. And you're like, wait a second. He didn't put the verses up on the screen. Yeah, on purpose. Write them down. Take them with you. I think for too long now, a lot of us are getting used to being spoon-fed and you're not eating on your own. Oh, wait, where's warm, cuddly Pastor Nick at? Yeah, I left him at the first worship experience. Okay, it's hot in here. I'm trying to get done quick so that we can go. It's open a window. Why is it not turning off? It's frozen, I think, still. Oh. Here we go. James 4, 6 through 10. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself. Take notes. Don't think to yourself that you're going to be able to not write this down and remember everything when you leave. You're going to forget it. The only thing you're going to remember is Pastor Nick was hot at church today. Write this down and remember it. Take this home and chew on it every single day. Gabe, who's part of my connection group, our connection group, he has cows. Okay? He has Highland cows. They're the cutest cows in the world. Okay? We went there for our last connection group. We're going to go a bunch during this semester, too. Everybody's going to sign up for group now, Gabe. They're going to be like, he has cows. They were just standing there going, yeah. And then Chuck got there, walked into a real-life farm eating Popeye's chicken, thinking that the animals weren't going to, like, rob him. Okay? And then they'd swallow the hay. And they'd be like, I want some more. We're literally supposed to do that with the word. We're supposed to chew on it like a cow does its cud. Chew on it. Regurgitate it, chew on it some more, regurgitate it, chew on it some more. That's why we didn't put the verses up this week. So you have to write it down, look it up for yourself, and continue to read it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Humble yourselves and don't think that you're just going to memorize everything. Learn how to eat on your own. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Listen, the word is so clear. We're so used to doing so everything so quickly. We hand sanitize. We're done. You ever seen a surgeon scrub in for surgery? This is the type of washing we're talking about. Wash your hands every single day, you sinners. Us sinners. How was golf yesterday? Yeah? I got a new Lamborghini. Yeah, I traded a Ferrari in. Playing Oakmont tomorrow. Yeah. But we just want to go. I'm serious. Wash yourself in the word. Submit to him daily. God, what are you going to do with me today? How am I going to serve you? What's going to happen? Every single day. We're not going to read Philippians. You could read that on your own. You can go ahead and read John 5 on your own. Shut any open doors. Shut them. Romans 6:14 says that sin shall not have dominion over you. It will not dominate your life. It will not keep you hemmed up. Where's so-and-so been? Oh, he's hemmed up. He's on vacation upstate for 5 or 6 years. Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. But it does not have dominion over, it cannot control you. If you shut the doors that you allow the enemy to walk in and shut the doors that you keep walking through, it's amazing what happens. Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, we can walk in holiness. Clean. Cleansed by what? What he did on the cross. By his word. Every single day. So often we accept salvation and forgiveness and we go on living our own way, making peace with sin. Oh, it's okay. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'll be a group on Wednesday. It'll be all right. It's okay. There's a comedian who grew up in Swissville. His name's Billy Gardell. He said, I love Pittsburgh. I love it. There's a church on every corner, and then there's a bar in between. I'm drunk. I'm sorry. I'm drunk. I'm sorry. That's part of his skit. Seek after God. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and you will have everything you need. Everything you need. Seek him first. Take a picture, because I'm not reading 2 Chronicles or James 4:8 again. I'm not reading it. Take a picture. Chew on it like some cows. What are their names again? Evie and Reba. They're cute. Their horns are coming in. They're so cute. We're going to start landing a plane. We're going to talk about a word that so many people don't like. So we're seeking him. We're shutting the doors and we're submitting to him daily. But all of this takes obedience. In John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, this word obey is, it's a hot button word. I'm not going to obey anybody. I don't want to obey. It's not about rules. Religion says, if you love me, then you better obey what I command. Relationship says, if you would fall in love with me, then you'll obey me. It's about a reverence with God, for God. I grew up thinking it was all about religion. And then I started coming to church because of a girl. Second week, because of a girl. Third week, it's because I met Jesus in a real, real way. And then Rachel and her parents became an unbelievable example of believing for the best in me. They prayed for that relationship to change me from the inside out. Rachel continues to do that, but Rachel's mom was an unbelievable example of that for me. For me to walk out this relationship with Jesus and for this relationship with Jesus to change me from the inside out. I remember sitting at the table across from her like, man, yeah, I can't wait to get a house. I'm going to get a kegerator. It's going to be downstairs. I'm going to have my Steelers room. It's going to be nice. She's like, that's so sweet. That's so nice. I'll be so happy for you. that's going to be great. And then I know she went into her room, probably opened her Bible and just started praying. Oh, Lord, just cover him, Lord. Just change his heart from the inside out. May he obey your commandments. May he fall in love with you in more and more ways. May he walk in your truth. I know that's what she did. I know that's what Grammy did. I know that's what Rachel did. They never tried to change me. They just prayed that God would. And that relationship flourished and flourished and flourished and flourished. And then it wasn't about a bunch of rules. It wasn't about a religion. It was about a relationship. And listen, I'm still going to have a kegerator one day in my basement. It's just going to be full of Turner's tea. Diet, of course. I've talked to Steve Turner. It's possible. It can happen. We're going to make it happen. Relationship with him will change you. Listen, the goal isn't to stop sinning. The goal is to love Jesus. Paul couldn't stop sinning. He wrote a majority of the New Testament through God, God through him. Why do I do what is wrong when I know what is right? He had a flesh. You have a flesh. The goal is to fall in love with Jesus every day, more and more and more, to be sanctified more and more and more, to become more like him every single day, to experience the loving relationship that is possible because of Jesus and the cross. That is what has set you free, and free indeed. Not to go back to the way that you were, but to go where you're going. You don't have to wait until heaven to experience heaven. Experience heaven now. My friend that passed away, I wish that he could have saw how loved he was here. Listen, you are loved. Even if you don't feel it, it doesn't look like it, it doesn't smell like it, he gave up his life for you. So I have three questions that Jesus asked. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Then come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. If you don't have Jesus in a relationship with him and you're not walking in fully in the love of the cross and who he is, let today be your day, January 26th, 2025. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're just fighting for it, if you're trying to white knuckle it, receive what Jesus did for you on the cross. If you don't have that day, that time, that place, let today be your day. And I'm going to ask you to do the bravest thing you've ever done, but the most rewarding thing you've ever done. And that's slip your hand up to Jesus and say, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place. I've never received him as my Lord and Savior. Anyone at all today, maybe you walked away from the gift. It's time to pick it back up. Father God, I thank you so much that you've given us a plan. You've given us a purpose. You've given us a way to walk out this freedom, Lord. Help us to be set free. Help us to submit to you daily. Help us to shut any open doors that need closed, Lord. And help us to seek after you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. What a good word.